It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Hey friends, as promised, Matt Douglas of High Country Roses is back. And this time he's going to talk to us about a new venture he's involved with. So hey Matt, welcome back.
Hi, Teresa. It's good to be back. I'd say it's been a while, but it hasn't. Thank goodness.
Luckily, it hasn't. Now, at the end of the show a few weeks ago, and in that show, we were talking about your favorites in the new rose category, which was a fabulous show. But then you started to tell us about something new that you're involved with. And in the interest of time, I said, hey, would you like to come back? So we think this needs its own show. So it's time now. We've got time. So fill us in.
Yeah. We had started talking a little bit about some of our efforts to kind of seek out and find some of the older, harder to find roses and get them back into commerce. And it's been a little bit of a passion, a little bit of an adventure, trying to bring some of these things back. There's Peter Schneider and his combined rose list, you know, lists about 17,000 roses in commerce. And trust me, I've talked to him numerous times and I love his list and all of those things. And I definitely defer to his knowledge on that. But my gut just tells me that it's just a lot of those plants are really hard to find. And some maybe overseas and just really hard to get your hands on. So we, as a company really want to just kind of, broaden the spectrum of the roses that we offer. And that includes a lot of these older classic roses.
Well, I would totally agree on, just the hard to find element of this, because I hear from people all the time who are trying to find a specific rose, and it's just difficult. I'm committed to helping them, and it's just, where do you go? Because some of them just are not around for purchase anymore.
It's true. And from the nursery standpoint, I get it. Some of these roses are hard to grow. And there's maybe 10 people a year that are looking for them, but they're still important, and they're, my feeling is they're just, we should try. And, we as a company, we're pretty unique in that, we can tailor to somebody that, or some of these varieties that only have a handful that go out the door each year. So, we're fortunate in that way, and we certainly have got time to kind of look and seek out some of these plants and try to get them back into commerce.
Tell us a little bit about the history of your company and how this is also important to you.
Yeah, so High Country Roses was started in 1970. My stepfather, Dr. William Campbell, he was a pediatric urologist here in Denver, Colorado, and he just was really frustrated because his grandmother and mother had grown beautiful roses in the Colorado Springs area, and he could not do it in Denver. And of course, he was trying to grow things that had no business growing in Denver and had no idea. So being the scientist that he was, he kind of jumped into discovering roses that would grow here. And with all things Dr. Campbell, interest turns into passion, turns into business. So, the business began as a way for him to trade plants with people and just really expand and diversify what he was putting in his garden, as a process of discovery, and just really finding those roses that he could grow, like his mother and like his grandmother. And, you know, it just kind of generally grew into a business. It was slow for sure. But, you know, as the years have gone by, you know, we've really been able to kind of expand and, you know, offer a great number of roses to the community. You know, the roses that he really discovered were old garden roses, and that's really the DNA of our company. You know, we are definitely proponents of growing old garden roses, of, you know, protecting those plants, keeping them in commerce. You know, and as we've grown, we've definitely added that element of hardy plants for the West. And now we're really, really looking into more hard to find plants. So, you know, it's just an example. You know, when I took over the business from my sister 11 years ago, and at that time, she had 250 varieties. And, you know, with her setup in Utah and just the way the business was where the state of the industry was back then, you know, that was probably the perfect number and the right way to go. You know, you go with the big sellers and the ones that people are really looking for. So, you know, just as an example, though, we are hoping to have for 2022 season about 750 varieties. So in the course of 11 years, we've been able to triple what we were offering.
That's incredible. And, you know, and listeners, I have several roses from High Country Roses, and they do so well for me.
They better.
Yeah, they do. As you know, we've talked about this many times before, you and I, but when I came back from Turkey with this passion for damask roses, I had a couple, but then first thing I did was say, Matt, what do you have?
Yeah.
Because I knew you would, and you did, and they're glorious.
You know, and that's a great example of exactly what we're doing. You know, I mean, the demand for damask roses, you know, throughout the United States right now is just through the roof. I mean, I can't grow enough, honestly.
Everybody
wonders where they are. And I'm like, you know, people keep buying them. So,
well, I told you that maybe we had a little something to do with that, because I told you that's one of the most popular podcasts is the podcast we did a few years ago just a couple of years ago on the damask roses. And they are incredible. You know, I took a small little plant that you sent me right now. It's 9 foot tall. I mean, it's 8 foot wide. It is gorgeous, and it is so fragrant. Yeah. So yes, good job.
Well, that's what we like to do. You know, I love hearing stories like that. So,
and then you also have a relationship with the Ralph Moore roses. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, so you know, one of the just interesting little, you know how they say you kind of learn things by osmosis is . So my mother was Linda Campbell, who was big in the, you know, American Rose Society and rose circles back in the 90s. She was married to Dr. Campbell, and she developed a friendship with Ralph Moore. And, you know, I remember as a kid, you know, going to California, not to Disneyland, but to to see the Sequoia Nursery. I might have preferred Disneyland back then, but you know, it was still great, probably better in the long run than it was Ralph's nursery. But you know, I even to this day, I still remember walking around that nursery. And you know, it's just one of those things, you don't realize what's there until, you know, later on in life. And you know, certainly he had visited the house, and we had him for dinner a few times. And again, I took literally no formal education or anything from that. But it was just nice to see that relationship. And of course, Ralph ended up hybridizing the Linda Campbell rose. And I always tell people that I'm contractually obligated to grow my mother's rose, which is a great one. But it kind of spilled over into a little bit of a quest to collect and keep Ralph's miniatures in commerce. So that's really, you know, when I first took over the business, that's really where I started. I just kept keeping an eye out, looking for Ralph's minis in different places and collecting them. So, And certainly that kind of spirit has expanded, and you know, there's a lot of roses coming back in.
Well, so tell us about this new effort. Who are you working with and what's going on?
Well, yeah, I think we're going to just talk about two people. I will say, I think it's been a great push from the American Rose Society in general to its membership to kind of to really kind of push that if you're growing these special roses, you know, the efforts to kind of keep them in commerce is important, and to kind of keep them around. You know, we're going to talk about two different people that we've been working with, one of which is a woman named Gail Felzine, who honestly, Teresa, it's just an incredible story, and she just has an incredible garden. And I just have to kind of take you in the Wayback Machine here, because I started up a friendship with her back in 2016, when she basically cold called me and said, "Hey, I've got these plants. I'm digging a new sewer line. You need to come get them." And I honestly had no idea, you know, who she was, or I knew she was related to some of the local rose people, and they knew her. And I had a spirit of adventure about me, and I said, "Sure, I'll come out." And then she told me she lived outside of Sterling, Colorado, which, you know, you probably don't know your Colorado geography, but it's about a 2.5 hour drive out into the high plains of Colorado, and it's dry land, wheat farming, and it is a tough climate out there. So I said, "Sure, I'll come out and see what you got going on." And so I'm driving along all these miles, and I'm literally in the middle of nowhere, and I see just in the corner of my eye up on this hill, it looks like a fortress of trees and just green in the middle of a sea of just, you know, brown fields. And I was like, "That can't honestly be where I'm headed." And of course it was, and I got there and it just got better. So, you know, I mean, she is an amazing woman. So she and her husband, Gary, who's since passed, you know, they farmed about 800 acres, you know, on the very high plains. I mean, we're talking like zone 4 Colorado. And you know, it was wheat farming, it was a little ranching, all of these things. But right around the house where they live, Gail, over the course of 40 years has grown 5 acres that are seriously just an arboretum and botanical garden. It is the most amazing garden I think I've ever been to. She always laughs that it's overgrown or whatever. And, you know, she's up in her 80s now, but, and it's tough to take care of, but every time I'm there, all I see is perfection. So she, you know, she is, this area, she's grown a lot of these trees from seedlings, you know, the roses. She's grown hundreds and hundreds of roses, and it's just been a process of kind of weeding them out until they work. So currently she says she's got about 250 to 300 plants growing, and trust me, they're growing because they're tough and you know, can handle the climate and the a little bit of the neglect out there, but certainly it is just absolutely a beautiful garden. I use it as a test garden nowadays. We've become good enough friends, you know, that I will, I'll send plants out to her, and, you know, we can give them the yep stamp of approval for zone 4 if they can live for Gail out there.
Absolutely. So,
and, yeah, she's not afraid to give me an honest appraisal of how the plants are doing either. So she's good that way. But, you know, amongst these roses, though, she has got such a great diversity of plants. She's got old garden roses. She's got like brand new releases that, you know, some are doing great, some are not doing great. She's got, she honestly has every Canadian rose that has ever been released, you know. And it's just amazing. You know, I look forward every year. I jump in the golf cart with her and we drive around the property and she's like, you really ought to grow this or you really ought to grow that. And it's just been a great relationship and a great way to kind of reintroduce some roses. And I, you know, just as an example, some of these roses are all thanks to Gail. You know, she's helped me reintroduce Baltimore Belle, Centifolia Variegata, Souvenir de St. Anne's, Robert Leopold, Morgan Groose, Morden 6910. I didn't even know what Morden 6910 was. It was a test rose that was one of the very, very first Canadian roses. Somehow she had her hands on it. So, you know, and it's just great. You know, you get out there and you look and you see this amazing garden and you see the plants growing, you get a sense of their habit, how they're doing, when they're blooming, you know, how much they're blooming. You get a good feel for, you know, scent on the plant. It's just been a friendship that I really cherish. And just, gosh, she's been such a help to us in this effort to kind of expand things.
And to all of us who want to see them, be with them, grow them. So such a fascinating story. And friends, I'll mention to you that I have a link to an online magazine that has a great article on Gail with pictures. And I'll put that link in our show notes, and you can find that at rosechatpodcast.com.
Yeah, it's a great article. It is. It's written by a local nurseryman here, and he is also great friends with her, Scott Skogerbo, and it's a great glimpse into what she's got going on there, and definitely check the overhead view out. That'll give you the best feel for how much work she's put in.
It's amazing, really. You know, just at first glance, you think, oh, let me scan in there and see that a little bit better. I mean, it's something to see.
Yeah. Yeah, it truly is.
So you have another great friend of the rose that you want to tell us about.
Yeah. Yeah. And we just started working with Carol Macon this year. I've known Carol for years, and she and Jerry live in the Colorado Springs area. So it's kind of the other end of the gardening spectrum. So she's, you know, definitely in a kind of high foothills area right up against the mountains. I think I said in my note, it comes complete with bears. She was kept telling us the story of how she has bears climbing her crabapple tree. And so that just kind of sets the scene a little bit for the flora and fauna that is Carol's garden. But you know, it is definitely the other end of the spectrum. You know, it's you know, drip irrigated. It's, you know, she, you know, it's intricately landscaped, you know, and you know, not that the Gales is not, but cared for in a little bit different way. You know, she does a lot of, you know, exhibiting roses, judging roses, and especially arranging. So, you know, her garden is definitely much more, you know, contoured that way. Yeah, tame. There we go. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Both beautiful. Yeah. Both beautiful. But
yeah, exactly. There's a difference. Exactly, for sure. So, you know, Carol is great. She was a friend of both my stepfather and mother. So I've known them for a very long time. And honestly, we first started kind of working together a little bit where she contacted me and she said that she had this interesting sort of sport or cross that she found in her garden. And, you know, frankly, when somebody like Carol says, I've got something interesting, I perk my ears up and definitely check it out. And, they were in town one day and brought me this wonderfully long stem. And she says, it's a purple Darlow's Enigma. And I said, I am going to just check it out and we'll see what happens, Carol. And sure enough, that, you know, this cross that she has, that she's named Christian J, is just a gorgeous little rose. And it's definitely got a bunch of Darlow's Enigma in it because it looks just identical, but it's like really purple. So we introduced that a few years back for her, and she named it after her son. And it's just a great little specialty rose. Lots and lots of people have found it. I took it to Gail, go figure, to test it out. Doing great in zone four. So there you go.
The
circle's complete. There we go. But you know, it's sort of beyond that. She and I have been talking about, you know, she's got, you know, again, hundreds and hundreds of roses, and so we've been talking around it for years, and finally this spring I got she got a little more forceful with me. She sent me a complete rose inventory that was like 8 pages long, including like ARS ratings and highlights of the ones that she thinks that I really need. And it was perfect. And then the message was just, you better get down here. I'm not getting any younger. So I appreciate that about Carol. She definitely put the appropriate urgency on it. So we got down there this year, and again, just a beautiful yard, just a, you know, such a gift to be in and enjoying. And, you know, she just had some roses that, you know, we've been looking for ages, that I just, you know, shake my head that they're right under my nose. You know, it was just great. Like the Rose Tuscany, we've had Tuscany Superb forever. You know, it's just been in our mix. And every year I get, you know, probably 10 calls of people that are looking for just the Rose Tuscany. Well, you know, what has Carol got growing literally underneath like three other plants and spreading to the point that she's like, you're welcome to cut that out of there and just take it with you. You know, she's got Tuscany. So, but you know, some of the other ones that she's got that we're really excited about is Cameo and Summer Damask, Violette, Madame Lagrasse de Saint-Germain. You know, just again, a lot of great old garden roses. Oh, bonus. She also had a couple of Ralph Moore minis that I didn't have. So she let us take a couple of cuttings of those as well. So, and really, again, Teresa, it's the same thing. You know, it's just so great to be able to see the plants, you know, appraise the health of the plants, how they're doing. You know, you can get a good feel for, you know, how they grow in specific conditions. And, you know, just a real gift.
Well, and these two, they're a trusted name. This is not something that just came and went. This is a lifelong hobby. They know what they have.
Exactly.
They know what they're doing. And I have another note about Madame Lagrasse de Saint-Germain. Many, many, many years ago, I had that rose, and I loved it. It's a white, you know, climbing, kind of flouncing, a white rose. And I don't have it anymore, and I think that was due to the redesign of a garden area or something. I'm not quite sure, you know, how that happens. But I always thought of it as a catalyst rose because its fragrance, when it was in bloom, all the other roses around it just had more intense fragrance. So I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but we would know the minute that rose was in bloom. It just added something special. So I always have a warm spot in my heart for it. But try finding it again. I didn't know what I had.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it sounds like I better put another underline under that one. So yeah, Carol had that one in highlight as well. So, you know, we will definitely be looking forward to getting that one back into commerce here.
So those are just great examples of what can be done to bring some of these classics back.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and you know, it even goes beyond that, Teresa. You know, we have customers that, you know, show up with chunks of roses that are like, what is this? What's going on? You know, and obviously at that point, we've got to, you know, do a little more investigating, figuring out what things are. It's not coming out of a garden where things are known and labeled and, you know, that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we've been known to give it a try. You know, I think I was telling you too, you know, like we had a customer that bought us their entire Alba Semiplena rose, which is just a super difficult rose to get going and kind of keep in commerce, keep available. And, you know, they had somebody that had unfortunately done a bad survey on their property and they had to remove an entire plant. And, you know, she's like, I've got Alba Semiplena. I'm bringing it down. I was like, okay. So, you know, and it was an entire plant. It was five buckets full of Alba Semiplena material. And, you know, it's, you know, obviously in that case where we don't have a known quantity, we've got to be a little bit more careful with things. And, you know, certainly we're checking and holding those plants, you know, for multiple years to ensure health and to ensure that it is in fact what it's presented as. And, you know, and, you know, we really have kind of developed a good process for just kind of making sure everything's legit with what we've got going on. And, you know, more and more we've even had, and again, from people that we know who have known roses in their yard. And in some cases, some that are like, what is this? Or we think, you know, we had a great back and forth with some friends in Washington that we were trying to decide whether the rose that we have as Ghislaine Feligonde is really Canary Bird. And so we were able to grow both side by side. She literally mailed me the plant material. And this is, you know, just kind of wrapped in a paper towel and stuck it in an envelope. And, you know, roses are resilient. There's no doubt about it. So, you know, and while, you know, though that certainly turned out to be a good way to do it, you know, definitely if you're going to send me something, let me know first.
This is kind of Rose Rustlers part two. You know, Mike Shoup, yeah, and all the guys that went out, you know, scouring cemeteries and homes, farmhouses.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they, you know, it was a great reward on that effort. So I think there's going to be great reward on this effort too, Matt.
Well, I don't have a cowboy hat, but I'm not opposed if that, you know, what we got to do to get some of these back. I'm willing to saddle up, I guess.
Well, you know, you said that roses were resilient, and you know, I think rose growers are resilient too, and I would add tenacious. So
it's absolutely the truth. Yeah,
it is
absolutely the truth.
Well, this has just been so fascinating. We could just talk about this all day. And Matt, we truly, truly thank you for your commitment to make these roses more and more available to us. And I just got to say, garden hats off to Carol and to Gail for their work. This is so inspiring. And I just love it that they're willing to share. You know, in the ARS, we have many, many people who have extensive, they love the rose so much. They have extensive gardens and probably something to share too. Mm-hmm. So it's a great effort. And we don't want, you know, we want a place for all of these wonderful roses and we don't want them to be lost. And it takes space, it takes time, it takes knowledge and patience and tenacity and all of those things. And so we really, really thank you, Matt, for this.
Oh, absolutely. And you're spot on about the American Rose Society membership is just such a wonderful resource, you know, and rose growers in general. I know not everybody's an ARS member, but, you know, it's just people love roses and, you know, they want to see them doing well. They want to see them sort of continuing through history. And it is just such a great resource to talk to the people I talk to every day. And, you know, we just try to do the best we can for everybody so that, we have, you know, thousands and thousands of happy rose growers out there.
We do. And, you know, here on Rose Chat, we are big proponents of the local society and the American Rose Society. And we think all people should be members. And today, with all of the virtual Zoom meetings and GoToMeeting, there's just a wealth of knowledge that can be just shared so easily. So jump on the train and grow with us, because there is so many opportunities and there's going to be so many more roses, and you don't want to miss it.
That's absolutely the truth.
So again, thanks for joining us, Matt. And friends, we're so glad you joined today too. And if you have a rose you'd like to discuss with Matt, well, you can contact him at matt@highcountryroses.com. Probably not the best idea just to drop it by his door. He might need a little warning. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com, or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.